Well, here it is. It's Monday. It's the 18th of May in the year of our Lord 2026, and this is the Panic Podcast. Nice to have you with us on this Monday. It's a beautiful summer day here in Southwest Virginia. We are in 1 Corinthians chapter 3 today. We're going to talk about you. You listening to the podcast right now. You are God's field. Did you know that? Yes, you are. And we're going to talk about specifically being God's field and working in God's field. Yeah, Paul kind of mixes his metaphors up a little bit here, but I think you'll, it's an interesting thing. The 1 Corinthians 3 verse 9. Let's read that. We're gonna read to verses 3 to 9 in just a second. But let's go ahead and read verse 9 here right now. For we are God's co-workers. You are God's field, God's building. Now, I want to read that from the King James Version, because it's a little odd. For we are laborers together with God. Ye are God's husbandry. Ye are God's building. Yeah, the word husbandry, that's an old English term for a cultivated field or garden. Modern translations, like the NIV, which I read from, turn husbandry into a field. And that's an acceptable translation, since we're talking about a place intentionally prepared for planting and fruitfulness, basically a garden. And Paul's not talking to pastors here, or missionaries, or evangelists, or something. He's speaking to the whole congregation. He's speaking to us. You are not supposed to be a wild thicket. You are not supposed to be an abandoned, empty lot full of, you know, overturned trees and weeds and sumac and all that. You are God's field, God's garden. Now, the Corinthians had divided themselves up into factions or cliques. So let's read about that. Let's start at verse 3. 1 Corinthians 3, verse 3, we'll read through to verse 9. Paul says, you're still worldly. For since there is jealousy and quarreling among you, are you not worldly? Are you not acting like mere human beings? When one says, I follow Paul, and another, I follow Apollos, are you not mere human beings? After all, what is Apollos? And what is Paul? Only servants through whom you came to believe, as the Lord has assigned to each his task. I planted the seed. Apollos watered it, but God has been making it grow. So neither the one who plants nor the one who waters is anything, but only God who makes things grow. The one who plants and the one who waters have one purpose, and they will be rewarded according to their own labor. For we are God's co-workers. You are God's field, God's building. So the Corinthian Christians, they had divided themselves up into cliques. I'm a fan of Paul's preaching. Well, I prefer Paulus. Well, Paul, he does not let himself get drawn into that argument, and he doesn't want them to miss the point. The field does not belong to the planters or the waterers. The field isn't Paul's. The field isn't Apollos's. It belongs to God. And every one of us in the field has a role in tending the field. This imagery of a garden, it runs throughout the whole Bible, you know. In the very beginning, God planted a garden in Eden, and he placed Adam and Eve right there in the middle of it to, as Genesis tells us, to dress it and keep it. In other words, to look after the garden. After the fall, we know that God cursed the ground, but the promise of redemption, believe it or not, was a garden promise. Did you know that? Listen to this. The desert and the parched land will be glad. The wilderness will rejoice and blossom. That's from Isaiah 35, verse 1. Now, over in the New Testament, the whole garden metaphor continues. Jesus said in John 15, verse 1, I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener. Something that you need to understand right at the outset is that the church is not a factory. The church is not a business. The church is a living garden where the Lord of the harvest wants to display his glory. And because we are his field, his garden, those of us that are in the garden, we have four practical responsibilities that we must exercise. So let's cover those this morning on the podcast, shall we? First of all, you and I, as members of the garden, part of the garden, we are at the same time to sow the seed of his word with dedication. Now, Paul said, I have planted. I have planted. Now, planting is deliberate, it's costly, and it's hopeful. How many of you have planted a garden this year? We did. And by garden, I don't mean like a vegetable garden or a fruit garden. We planted flowers and stuff like that. And we had to go, we ordered the seeds or the bulbs, and my wife, I say we, I mean my wife, she planted all that stuff. You know, it cost her money. She deliberately chose a place to plant the garden. And we have a lot of hope that those plants are going to grow. I mean, we covered them up when the frost came. And so far, so good. Our garden's looking pretty good. But, I mean, look, no farmer just goes out into a field and throws his seeds around casually without any planning. He chooses the best seed. He prepares his soil. And he sows his seed at the right time. You know, Jesus taught us in the parable of the sower over in Matthew 13 that the seed is the word of the kingdom, yeah, the word of God. So every time we open up our Bibles in personal devotion, every time we talk about what we've learned from the Bible with others, or even share the gospel with a neighbor, we are sowing seed into God's field. Yes, we are. And the thing about sowing the seed of God's word is that we have to be dedicated to the process. Like you can't sow today and then 5 years sow again. It don't work like that. Now, Isaiah chapter 55, verses 10 and 11, these two verses remind us that God's word is like the rain and the snow that fall from heaven. Verse 11 says, it, God's word, will not return to me empty, but will accomplish what I desire and achieve the purpose for which I sent it. Yes, to me that's an amazing thing. God's word will accomplish precisely what God intends for it to accomplish. Now that doesn't excuse laziness, however. 2 Timothy 2:15 says, do your best to prepare yourself as one approved, a worker who does not need to be ashamed and who correctly handles the word of truth. Right? Do your best to present yourself to God as one approved. In his letter, James urged his readers to get rid of all moral filth and the evil that is so prevalent and humbly accept the word planted in you, which can save you. James 1:21. And Peter tells us something really important, 1 Peter 2:2. Like newborn babies, crave spiritual milk so that by it you may grow up in your salvation. And of course, the pure spiritual milk is the word of God. So the seed that God sows and the seed that we are consequently also to sow because we are co-laborers with him is not to be a mixture of human philosophy, of opinions, or cultural compromise. Paul planted the pure gospel. Apollos watered that same gospel. And we've got to do exactly the same thing. I mean, listen, just think about the early church for a minute. On the day of Pentecost, when the Spirit fell and Peter got out there in the streets of Jerusalem, and he preached his Pentecostal sermon. Remember that? He sowed the seeds, not of his opinion, not of some philosophy. He sowed the seeds of Joel chapter 2 and Psalm 16, and of the resurrection of Christ, which, of course, hadn't been written about yet. And because of that, thousands of souls were added to the church. God's word accomplished the purpose he had intended for it to accomplish. How about those Bereans? Remember the Bereans in Acts 17:11? The Berean Jews were of more noble character than those in Thessalonica. For the Bereans received the message, the word of God, with great eagerness and examined the scriptures every day to see what Paul, see if what Paul had said was true. I love that. I love it when members of my congregation do that. When they hear me say something and maybe they're not sure about it, well, instead of causing trouble and claiming the pastor's a false teacher, they go to the Word of God themselves to make sure that what I'm saying lines up with what God says. That's what you ought to do. That's being dedicated to the Word. Dedication means consistency. It means sowing the Word of God in season and out of season. That's what Paul says in 2 Timothy 4, I think it's around verse 2 or 3 or something. You got to sow the word in season and out of season. So whether you feel like it or not, whether it's planned or not, whether you're seizing an opportunity that happens to present itself, you got to be ready. It means sowing even when the soil looks hard and rocky, because we never know which heart has been prepared by the Holy Spirit. You know, Paul said that a man reaps what he sows. So if we sow the good seed of God's word with dedication, then we can trust the Lord of the harvest to bring forth 30, 60, or 100-fold. Secondly, this is really important, we need to actually cultivate the struggling plants. Paul wrote, Paul planted the seed, Apollos watered it. Like, planting the seed, it's not enough. You guys that have gardens, you know this. I mean, you got to care for your garden. You got to weed it. You got to tender plants need care. You know, some believers in the church are like that. They're like young saplings. Maybe new converts, bruised by some sin in their past. Maybe they've been weakened by trials. Maybe they're like struggling perennials that have been... their faith has been choked out by the cares of this world. You know, maybe they're like plants that are kind of bent over, carrying some burden that we know nothing of. You know, the garden calls for cultivators, not critics. It's very easy to criticize a fellow believer in the garden for not living the way we think they should. We don't have a clue what's going on in the depths of their hearts and their lives. They need cultivation. Jesus showed us how to do this. John 15, 1 and 2, he says, I am the true vine. My Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes so that it will be even more fruitful. And I'll tell you this. Not infrequently, I've been on the receiving end of some pruning. It's not very nice. It's painful, but it is productive. Galatians 6:1, brothers and sisters, if anyone is caught in a sin, you who live by the Spirit should criticize that believer. That's not what Paul wrote. Here's what he really wrote. If someone is caught in a sin, you who live by the Spirit should restore that person gently. That's right. Don't be critical. Try to restore that person. Bring them back. 1 Thessalonians 5:14, we urge you, brothers and sisters, warn those who are idle and disruptive. Encourage the disheartened. Help the weak. Be patient with everyone. Got to look after the garden. Got to look after one another in the church of Jesus Christ. Hebrews 10, 24, and 25 call us to, quote, consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds. not giving up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another, and all the more, even as you see the day approaching. I love that. Spur one another on toward love and good deeds, right? Encourage one another. And this cultivating, listen, it's personal. It's personal. It might mean picking up the phone and making a quiet phone call to somebody. Maybe they looked a little discouraged at church and you want to talk to them. Maybe it's a text that you send to a discouraged member. Could be a Bible study that the pastor asks you to lead. Could be the hospital visit, the prayer meeting, a visit or encouragement. Listen, Psalm 1 verse 3 pictures the blessed man as, quote, a tree planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in season and whose leaf does not wither. Whatever they do prospers. That's the blessed man. Jeremiah says pretty much the same thing in Jeremiah 17, 7 and 8. But blessed are those who trust in the Lord, whose confidence is in him. They will be like a tree planted by water that sends out its roots by the stream. It doesn't fear when the heat comes. Its leaves are always green. It has no worries in a year of drought and never fails to produce fruit. Well, how does the tree stay healthy? Well, by drawing from the river, by drawing water from a source. Christ himself. That's right, the believer. Here's the thing, though. Somebody has to make sure the irrigation channels are clear. It's all part of cultivating the garden. Colossians 2, 6 and 7. So then, just as you receive Christ Jesus as Lord, continue to live your lives in him, rooted and built up in him, strengthened in the faith as you were taught, and overflowing with thanksgiving. You know, when you see a plant in your garden, if it's struggling, you just don't yank it up right away. You try to save it. You cultivate around it. Water it with the word. Loosen the hardened soil of bitterness with forgiveness. Stake up the weak stem with encouragement. You know, cultivating, it's not glamorous, but it is essential. God gives the increase, but he uses our hands to water what he planted. Third point. We need to be on guard against the enemies of the garden, enemies of growth. Every garden has its pests. You know, Jesus warned about this in his parable of the wheat and the weeds, that, quote, while everyone was sleeping, his enemy came and sowed weeds among the wheat and then went away. Matthew 13:25. You know, the devil is still in that business today. He's trying to sow weeds into God's garden. You know, the enemies of real spiritual growth, they're real. Things like false doctrine, worldly distractions, internal strife, jealousies, envy, stuff like that. And of course, the compromise, the subtle erosion of compromise. There's an incident in Paul's ministry where he had met with the elders from the church in Ephesus, and he was getting ready to leave them, and he said, it's in Acts 20:29, he said, I know that after I leave, savage wolves will come in among you and will not spare the flock. And they did. So we've got to guard our garden. Ephesians 6:10-18 equips us with the whole armor of God. Remember what it is? It's the belt of truth, the breastplate of righteousness, the shield of faith, the helmet of salvation, and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. 2 Corinthians 10:4-5 reminds us that the weapons we fight with are not the weapons of the world. That's right, because it's a spiritual battle. We need spiritual weapons. Paul continues, on the contrary, they have divine power to demolish strongholds. We demolish arguments and every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God, and we take captive every thought to make it obedient to Christ. We guard the garden by knowing the scriptures so we can spot those weeds of false teaching. We guard our garden by maintaining unity. We guard our garden by practicing church discipline when it's necessary. We guard our garden by refusing to let bitterness and unforgiveness take root. I love Hosea chapter 10, verse 12. Sow for yourselves righteousness. Reap the fruit of unfailing love and break up your unplowed ground. For it is time to seek the Lord until he comes and showers his righteousness on you. Break up your unplowed ground. Why? The unplowed ground in your heart, because it produces nothing but weeds. You want a fruitful garden, you got to be vigilant. You want a fruitful spiritual life, you must also be vigilant. And lastly, we need to fertilize as we have the opportunity. Now, fertilizer isn't very glamorous. It smells real bad. I hate touching it with my hands. It's nasty. But without it, the soil can become depleted spiritually. Fertilizer is the enriching grace that strengthens the roots and multiplies the fruit. Galatians 6, 9, and 10 gives us the command, let us not become weary in doing good, for at the proper time we will reap a harvest if we do not give up. Therefore, as we have the opportunity, now listen, let us do good to all people, especially to those who belong to the family of believers. So what is the spiritual fertilizer? Well, it can be many things. We've already talked about some. But I would add for spiritual fertilizer is fervent prayer. Never, ever, ever underestimate the power of a believing, righteous individual. James 5:16 says that prayer will accomplish much. Spiritual fertilizer is also generous giving. Yes, giving in the offering, of course, but giving of your time. Giving of your attention. Noticing when someone has a long face in church and wondering why and going over and talking to them. Spiritual fertilizer can also be acts of love and service. How about doing something for someone in church without being asked? That spiritual fertilizer is also the ministry of the Holy Spirit. Because, I mean, let's face it, the Holy Spirit alone can make the soil right. And this is interesting. I was thinking about this the other day. Spiritual fertilizer is also the regular observance of the Lord's Supper. Because at the Lord's Supper, we specifically take time to remember the broken body and shed blood that nourishes all of us. You know, when we fertilize the field with opportunity-driven obedience, the garden is going to flourish even in difficult times. But did you notice the beautiful balance in our text? Paul wrote that I, Paul, planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. Look, you're not the life giver. I'm not the life giver. There's only one life giver, and it's the Lord. We are the laborers. As a matter of fact, we are laborers together with God. Every faithful sower in your congregation, in your field, from the pastor on down, including you who sit in the pew every Sunday, every faithful sower, every cultivator, every vigilant watchman, every generous fertilizer will receive a reward according to his labor. You are God's garden. You are God's field. You are not a barren wilderness. You are not a neglected plot. You are a living, breathing testimony to the grace of the master gardener himself, the same God who planted Eden, who who called Israel a vineyard of red wine, who planted the church at Pentecost, is tending you today. He prunes, he waters, he protects, and he causes growth. But he does that through you. I hope that you listening to the podcast today will accept your role. Will you sow the seed of his word with dedication this week? In your home, your workplace, in your neighborhood? Will you cultivate struggling plants all around you with patience and love and compassion? Will you fertilize with every opportunity the Lord puts in front of you? Think about it. You are God's field, but you also have a job to do in that field. Well, that's it. It's 26 and a half minutes past the hour. Thank you all for listening to the Panic Podcast today. We'll be back on Wednesday with another podcast. Remember, no podcast on Friday. We've got other stuff going on, so we won't see you Friday, but we will see you on Wednesday, Lord willing. Till then, have an awesome rest of the week. It's going to be really nice here in Wise County, especially the next couple days. Lots of sunshine. Get out there and enjoy it, and we'll talk again soon. God bless you all.